I want to compliment you, Walt. It was an excellent Labor Day editorial in the Bulletin today, this week. Well, for Labor Day, genuine need for unions to protect workers' rights and salaries. You presented some pretty shocking numbers, I thought, in that. I think the one that really got me was that 700 billionaires now in the U.S. saw an increase in wealth of $2.7 trillion between March 2020 and October 21. And just the dozen billionaires at the very top of those 700 have a combined wealth of more than $2 trillion.
Yeah, it's staggering. And it had, you know, that gap has grown just exponentially wider between the haves and the have-nots in the last 20 years.
And you were reminding us that that big, beautiful bill might stop the taxes on tips, but that's only for two years. But these tax breaks on billionaires are forever.
Yeah, yeah. And you're not going to hear that in any of the ads, you know, that they're playing right now that are, you know, featuring Republicans who voted for that bill as the working man's champion.
Yes. Yeah, that's so appalling. So a lot has happened here in recent days. And do you mind if I start jumping into crazy stuff?
Please.
All right.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, first, I do want to note that internationally, Putin of Russia and Kim of North Korea are the honored guests of China's President Xi during the country's commemoration of the end of World War II. Perhaps not surprisingly, what Xi is doing is downplaying any role that the United States played in the end of World War II.
Well, and not to mention Modi of India.
Modi of India. So, a lot of Trump's actions are pushing our rivals, into each other's arms. Yeah,
because of course the man has no understanding of soft power. Of diplomacy. He thinks, and his supporters believe him, and they've been told this for years, that it's all a ripoff. Charity begins at home. We should be spending this money feeding our kids, not feeding hungry kids on the other side of the world.
Yep.
What do we get? What do they ever do for us?
Yes, exactly. And so what we're doing is we're going to be seeing the United States increasingly isolated. European powers are not turning to the U.S. for help with Ukraine. Ukraine is building up its own defenses.
On top of that, you have this stupid trade war that makes no sense at all.
Yes.
Where it's all personal. You know, I'm going to slap a tariff on Modi or on India because he won't agree that I ended the war single-handedly ended the war between India and Pakistan.
Yeah, a war that continues.
He won't support my trying to get a Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah.
Well, lies.
And
him trying to get a Nobel Peace Prize.
Yep, that is true.
And so because of that, there is now a 50% tariff on India.
Yes.
That he's not going to pay. We're going to pay.
Yep. No, exactly. Exactly. And that gets us back to the point you were saying earlier. We need unions. Meanwhile, we've got Robert Kennedy's massive mishandling of the nation's public health infrastructure. We've had mass resignations, targeted firing, silencing of internal critics of his vaccine misinformation campaigns, and I'm afraid this will continue.
It'll be interesting. He is scheduled to appear before the Senate this week. I'm not sure what day that is.
Yes, I think you're Thursday. Is that what I'm thinking? Tomorrow?
Yeah.
But he will be asked some hard questions then.
He will. And Trump has made it pretty clear that he's getting tired of it. He's demanding, you know, an answer right now on does vaccines lead to autism? As if this hasn't been studied and researched.
Yes.
But he's going to be the one who gets to the bottom of it.
Yes, and then everybody can believe him.
Because
he's so credible.
I know that sounds ridiculous.
Yep.
But that is exactly where we're at.
Yep.
And of course, you can't decree something. You can't decree that everybody's going to agree on that just because you want them to.
Yes.
One way or another. He doesn't care one way or another.
Yeah.
He wants it to go away.
He's tired of that.
And so I think eventually RFK will go away.
Yeah, I do think that's true. But meantime, a lot of the people who've spent their careers there and are the real experts are gone.
Are gone.
Yeah. And they might be wary about coming back.
That's what I was going to say. Gone, but I suspect most of them would come back under a new leadership. I mean, maybe not under this president.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you just don't know who he's going to name next.
And the crazy thing is, you know, he is writing op-eds, taking credit for solving the measles, We had a measles. We never had measles breakouts before. Now
yes,
we do.
Now we do.
It's because of Novavax, and he's taking credit for solving it when what solved it is summer.
Yeah.
Summer solved it, and fall's going to bring it back.
Yep. And he's counting on the short memory of the people who listen to him.
Well, the people who listen to him do have a short memory.
Yeah, they do.
But most people don't listen to it.
Yeah, that's
and that's
true.
What Trump is eventually going to figure out. The people who do listen to him are very loud and very supportive and very supportive of Trump too.
Yeah,
they're very willing to tell either one what they want to hear. You know,
yeah.
But they're 15% of the population.
Yeah, I would say. I think sounds fair.
The anti-vax crowd. I mean, it went up during COVID for sure.
It's shocking to me it's that high, but yes.
And you know, I think the mandate was the thing that made it go up so high.
Yeah.
And I don't get me wrong. I agreed with the mandate. I mean, if you want to be in a crowd with people, that's part of living in a community. And
that's
I'm
right.
sorry, you know, communicable diseases don't care
who
your political philosophy is. And
yeah, that's right. This morning we had an interesting Fifth Circuit Appeals Court decision released that denied Trump's use of the Alien Enemies Act to deport immigrants. Now, that's a law that stems from the early 18th century, basically giving the president authority to repel invasions.
Yes.
And of the judges here, that it was a 2-1 vote, said that immigrants coming over the border are, quote, not a modern-day equivalent of an armed, organized force invading the United States.
Of course they're not. Jeez. And how is that a 2-1 vote?
The one was a Trump appointee. The other was a Biden and a George W. Bush appointee. Those were the other two appointees.
But that is so frustrating to me.
That
it is so clear that an invasion.
Yes.
What did the founders mean when they used the word invasion? Who, the one person who voted for that, does he honestly believe?
Yes.
That when the founders used the word invasion right after the American Revolution, right after, and with threats coming from Spain and France.
And France,
Does he honestly believe that when they used the word invasion, they were talking about immigrants sneaking over the border?
Looking for jobs, very, very little money in their pocket, certainly not armed, certainly not,
How do you twist that? How do you look in the mirror and say what they always say. I'm a textualist. I'm going by the strict language of the Constitution. No, you're not.
Well, this case will go up to the Supreme Court, and we'll be able to hear the textualist twisting their words again. And what shocks me also, well, you know, I'm so easily shocked. I shouldn't be. Is that the people who the people who are supporting these positions, even if they're not true MAGA, but they like being in power, they forget that power will move and they will be out of power, and suddenly the president they don't like will have these powers, and then the wheel turns.
Live for today.
Yeah,
you know,
that's right.
You only live once. But to me, the more amazing thing is how conservatives have given up on
conservatism.
I mean, posse comitatus.
Yeah, the basic state sovereignty stuff.
Yes, the idea that you do not use the federal troops for law enforcement, that has been a staple of conservative thinking ever since
for a very long time. And in fact, the bill itself was passed.
Ever since Waco, that has been you know, a hallmark of conservative thinking is you do not use federal forces in law enforcement.
And in fact, it was actually passed by sort of the racist elements after the Reconstruction period was over, because they didn't want federal troops going in to stop some of the states,
lynch mobs.
And the Jim Crow laws and things like
that. That's right. That's exactly right.
But it's an extremely important principle that has been in place now for 150 years almost, and it's coming now into the foreground because, of course, we have the deployment of U.S. troops in American cities, which is unprecedented, again, where you have to reassure our listeners, this has never been done by a previous administration.
And once again, and to say that crime, which is going down, is and that's why I don't think he will send ICE into Chicago and these other, but he's not going to send
unless there's protests against ICE. And it will be, and ICE will probably show up during the Mexican Independence Day celebrations when
protests.
A lot of the Latinos in Chicago are out dancing and having picnics and parades.
You're right.
So I don't, I think it's really very frightening. Now, we do have a Supreme Court decision that was good. Not Supreme Court, I back up, and out of San Francisco, a district court, Breyer out of San Francisco, just issued a ruling that that struck down the administration's use of troops in Los Angeles on the grounds, of course, that did violate federal laws that expressly prohibit the use of military force for domestic law enforcement. And what Judge Breyer, Charles Breyer, was referring to was the Posse Comitatus Act. Now, it explicitly says it's short. It bans the use of the Army and Navy, and now it's been expanded to the Marine Corps and Air Force, as posse comitatus, that is, executing domestic law, unless under some specific circumstances authorized by acts of Congress. It does say by the Constitution, but that was kind of a sop to get the bill passed in the first place. But an act of Congress, executive orders don't count. They are not an act of Congress.
Exactly.
And that protects civil liberties, and it keeps law enforcement in civilian hands, and it respects state sovereignty, which was always a big conservative issue.
Right. And another one, federal takeover of private business.
Yes.
So now conservatives are cool with the government getting into the chip business.
Yes.
Strong-arming its way into the chip business, with the government strong-arming its way into the steel business.
So here we are, a socialist country under the Republicans.
It's just amazing to me. Whatever Trump wants, okay, well, we have believed the other way for all of our lives, but if Trump wants it, I guess we were wrong.
Bow down, yeah. Now, this case, the downside of this decision is that it's limited. It only applies to California, so it might cause some second thoughts and the use of troops in Illinois, but it doesn't really stop them because it only applies to California, and there's a 10-day hold on the injunction. And there are still like 300 guardsmen in Los Angeles, but they're now explicitly told you can only guard federal buildings.
Right.
But, you know, the protests stopped by mid-June, and yet those troops remained.
I think you're right.
Suspicious.
I think he's counting on there will be protests, and they will, you know, give newsreel footage that can be played over and over again on Fox News.
Like they did those very few acts
Los
of
Angeles.
Violence. Yes. And the,
you
and
would
the
think
judge
the town was
really
like,
clear.
You know, four driverless cars on fire, and you would think the city. And he's telling us the city would be in ashes if not for me.
Yes, that is exactly right, and that's what we're going to hear again. And the judge said there were protests in L.A. and some individuals engaged in violence, yet there was no rebellion, nor was any civil law enforcement unable to respond to the protests and enforce the law. Really, our local police forces ought to be up in arms against this, too, because it essentially says you're incompetent.
Yeah.
We've got to come. Big Brother will come in and take care of things because, pat you on the head, you're not up to it.
But it's so transparent in the way he's doing it. But,
you know,
and when he's asked, why are you only going after Democratic state? They had no answer.
They have no answer. I have a sort of little fun fact there. Of course, he was calling Chicago the murder capital of the of the world. And actually, it not only is it not of the world, it's not of the United States. I think it doesn't even qualify among the most dangerous in the top 20. Dangerous with the cities with the highest homicides. Not even in the top 20. Jacksonville, Florida is.
But you know what matters? It has a bad reputation.
Yes.
That's not what people think. You're talking about statistics and facts.
That's absolutely right. I am.
We know what this president does with statistics
and facts. It's visceral. He just applies the, This really ought to be. This really terrifies me. And initially, I was afraid for New Mexico, and then I saw our own governor has brought in the National Guard to fight crime in Albuquerque, and that's completely legitimate because the Posse Comitatus Act only applies to troops that are under federal control. It's and so when they were under the state control and being paid by the state dollar, they can be used for law enforcement. They're usually not. They're usually used for disaster relief or when there really is a kind of emergency like that. But the Trump administration is getting around this with this little legal dance by saying, "Well, we're not federalizing the troops." This is like a little exemption in our Title 32 thing. We're not federalizing them; they're still under state control, but. But we're just bringing them in, and they're not federalized, and therefore they don't get posse comitatus, doesn't apply. Well, yes, but they are under federal control.
Yeah.
So it's like this illusion that they are still under state control. And that really is concerning that you've got states like Texas all willing to send their National Guard up to a non-consenting state.
That's what I was going to say. The concern here is that he is amassing an army that is going to be loyal to him.
Yep. Personally loyal.
Personally loyal to him.
Yeah. And, you know, those troops themselves are subject to the posse comitatus. It's real clear they'll get, you know, 2 years in jail, fines. I mean, that's what that law back in 1878 said, that it isn't just, you know, you're going to be held accountable in a vague way, but there are specific penalties attached to violating, for a soldier to violate the Posse Comitatus Act.
Right. But for that to happen.
Yeah, they have to be held accountable someday.
We have to have courts. But the courts are moving slowly.
Yes, they are.
You mentioned one. The other one that they knocked down was tariffs.
Yes, that's right.
Which is potentially a really, really big deal. And another one that seems incredibly clear to me, that the power to levy taxes is with Congress. And
a
tariff is a tax. And so
there's so much that Trump has done through executive order and not through legislation, and Congress will let them get away with it. I mean, this is their institutional interest. We've talked about this before, is the concession of conceding their institutional interests to this power-mad guy in the White House.
Yeah. And with what's going on at the state level with all this gerrymandering and redistricting in the middle of the census it's just going to get worse.
Yes.
I mean,
it is true.
It's going to be interesting to me, though, because I think to an extent you can do a lot of manipulation with gerrymandering and with redrawing the districts. And, you know, it clearly worked here. And it clearly works in other places. But this idea that we can just redraw the lines and automatically guarantee five new seats, it doesn't work that easily.
Whenever we want to,
I mean, the voters do get a say.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand you can make it really hard by breaking up strongholds, and that's what they did. But, you know, if you can get enough of the moderates in the middle of the roads over to your side, you can...
If you can get them to see what's happening and to be angry about it.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Angry enough to go to the polls.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
One of the things locally that I thought was kind of interesting is the debate over should we prevent any ICE detention centers here in New Mexico?
Yeah.
My gut reaction is yes, that we shouldn't take any part in this, and that's probably the right answer. But when Senator Crystal Brantley makes the argument that, you know, they're going to put these people somewhere, you know, while they hold them in the process of removing them from the country. If we have a clean, safe facility here, isn't that better?
Yeah, that's true. And at least there'll be some oversight.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a tough one for me.
Gosh, no, you're right. Because morally is what I'm trying to, well, legally and morally, but how do we decide? And I'm like you. I was I'm very much opposed to just these detentions, these random detentions. But you're right. If we can ensure at least it would be more humane, there'd be adequate food and water, there would be, health provisions. I mean,
It's kind of the same, dilemma I have with the oil industry.
Yeah.
You know, the opponents or the supporters of drilling here make the argument that we do it more clean and more efficiently than anybody else in the world. And if, the demand is not going down just because we stop producing, and it will be met and it will be done more cheaply and more inefficiently and dirtier. And so that's a tough one.
Yeah. And that's why public debate is very valuable. This is how we hammer out and refine our own thinking on these issues and start seeing, all right, I want to see data. I want to see how clean your industry really is here in the state of New Mexico. Or things like that. I mean, this is where we we make our decision based on this full airing of views. And we can't get that if we're living with a chilling effect that we're going to be suddenly disappeared. Or,
yeah, that's
you
for
know.
Sure. Well, and I just wish they would stop trying to tell us that they're still going after the rapists and the murderers and the worst
yes.
of the worst. Okay. How many murderers were on the fire crew that you were detaining?
Yes.
You know, out there fighting wildfires. Were there a bunch of rapists on that crew?
Yep.
Is that what you found when you checked everybody's ID?
Yep. You're exactly right. We know ourselves the stories of people who've been here for 30 years. They've been paying taxes, doing everything, paying into Social Security. Even if they are here without documentation, will never be able to claim Social Security. They're
right.
just doing everything right, except they don't have the documentation.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I guess we still got 5 minutes. What else locally?
what else locally? Well, there was a little protest on Saturday before Labor Day of the Indivisible group. I think there's this effort to at least keep the lights on in the House and keep showing that there is opposition. It wasn't in the numbers that we saw this summer with the No Kings protest, but it was nationwide. And it's not a bad reminder that there are people out there who are still trying to call the administration to account. And then as they're out there, it's sort of like a community gathering. It's heartening for those who participate. They don't feel so alone.
I completely agree with all of that. There's a part of that that bothers me a little bit, though.
Yeah?
When I see the images of that, it seems to me like there are a lot of people our age and that there's a lot of socializing. And I get all of that. I do. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. But it's not it's not in the past how we have forced change. We have forced change with young people stirring up trouble.
Well, of course, the No Kings protest had a lot of young people.
It did.
This time I thought, well, it's the start of school and it's a 3-week holiday, 3-day holiday. And so as a consequence, a lot of younger people
sure
are out.
Right.
Or yeah. Anyway, yeah, I was one of the gray hairs out there. But.
No, and I'm not. Everybody who's doing that is great. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying.
But I think the socializing, that is true. And that I don't believe that means that people aren't angry. I think it's their way of feeling, all right, I'm not alone out here.
I just think there's a tremendous amount of apathy among younger people.
There's
a we can't change it. You know,
what's the point? Yeah, I was next to a very nice woman in her 40s. Who works in the school district and school board offices. And she had a young son, teenage son, back at home sleeping in. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that could be more of the.
Yeah.
Mom, call me when the revolution gets interesting.
Right. Were you surprised by any of the changes that are coming to city council as the result of the two, council members deciding not to run again?
Well, have to see how that plays out. What do you think on that?
Well, Yvonne Flores, I think I wasn't surprised.
You watch city council more than I do.
Yeah, I think they were both kind of. It's gotten to be pretty acrimonious. There's always some tension, and there should always be some tension.
Mm-hmm.
The community. Dialogue with open, what do you call it?
Like an open mic?
Yeah, it's not the word for it, but public input.
Oh, yeah.
The public input part has gotten a little bit personal and a little bit nasty at times.
And that's reflected by what's going on at the national level, I think. And it just, civility is out the window.
Yeah, I do. I think that's unfortunate.
I really do, too. I really think that that's something that we want to attract good people for public service, and we don't have to all agree, and I wouldn't want us all to agree on policy decisions, but the acrimony is what dissuades people from staying in public service or from not running in the first place. Some good people won't run.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I also think it gets back to what we were talking about, the gerrymandering. I think there are so many, even at the legislature, it seems like, it's very, very hard to swing a district or a seat. So we have so many people who are just running unopposed in so many races that it's for voters, it's I kind of feel like I'm cheated anytime, you know, one of my representatives doesn't have an opponent running against them.
Yeah.
Because then they don't have to do the town halls and they don't have to come.
But they can't create the I mean, they have to can't go out and recruit an opponent.
No. And certainly they wouldn't. I get it from their point. I'm just saying that I think
that democracy really does ask for that give and take.
Yeah, it does. And
and a responsiveness.
We are down to our last couple of minutes. Let's see, what else did we?
I think the county is having an interesting vote coming up on that if they support that big development for AI development.
Yeah.
And it's already been turned down by some, I think in Arizona, other states that have very low water and
power. I was
going
to say, I need to learn more about that.
Yeah, me too.
But, we talked about that a little bit last week, and Peter knows more about it than I do. And Susan knows more about it. Maybe she can talk about it when she comes in here in a few minutes. But, yeah, I mean, it seems to me like this just isn't a good place for a facility like
that. Water is our gold. I mean, it really is our life.
Yeah,
so.
We had Dave Dubois in last week, the state climatologist.
Uh-huh.
And he's talking about the impacts of the drought and I mean, Elephant Butte is down to 3-4% capacity. I mean, nothing.
And we've had rains.
That was my thing too. I said, well, what about all this rain?
Yep.
And he said, nope, it's
not
the snowpack.
Not enough for the aquifers.
It's all the snowpack.
Yep.
You know,
that's right.
If you don't get that snowpack running down from Colorado, we'll never have enough rain.
So I will be watching this too. I'm inclined to hope they vote no just because of the water issue, and that evidently it can raise the cost of electricity for users as well because it's very power hungry, that kind of an industry. So, and AI might put our people out of work anyways.
Well, that's coming.